You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
I know that if you go in some places and some situations and some settings, and maybe people that you know very well even feel this way, that they think the notion that the world will end one day is a farce and hilarious and will never happen. The Bible teaches that one day the world will end. The world as we know it will end, and those that are redeemed, those that Jesus has forgiven of their sins, will live forever in heaven, and those that do not know the Lord will be separated from Him for eternity. Now, almost every believer, and I've never encountered a believer personally that didn't feel this way, that spoke it out loud anyway, I would say the vast majority of us as evangelical Christians would believe that the world is coming to an end soon, that we're in the last days. Now, can I stand today and say that it's going to happen on such and such date, that it'll happen on a particular day? I cannot do that. Did you know, and we've talked about this some already in the past, there are those that have attempted to do so. The world's going to end on October the 17th, 2016. Now, I just pulled that date out of nowhere. Okay? To predict that the world's going to end that day. Now, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says that nobody knows the day, or no man knows the hour when Jesus will come back. Okay? It's just going to come on us. Okay? Only God knows when that'll happen. But one of the things that we can do is look forward to that day. Now, if you had to press me on it and I had to give you an answer, I would guess and say that if I live a normal lifespan and I live to be 80 years old, give or take a few years, I feel like the Lord will return in my lifetime. I believe that it's possible He would return tomorrow or today. But if I had to guess, I would say certainly in my lifetime. But here, with that being said, it could also be 5,000 years from now. You see, I'm trying to distance myself from somebody predicting when it's going to happen. We don't know. Do you ever turn on the news in the evenings? Do people still do that? With current technology and your cell phones and all of that, your tablets, you can see news all the time. And that's a good thing, I guess. You know, I have noticed a lot in the last couple of years when breaking news happens, a lot of times they get some details wrong immediately because it came out so fast, as opposed to giving themselves a little bit of time before they actually report what actually happened. But if you turn on the news this evening, and here, I know on the local stations that we get, you may turn on Amarillo News, or you may even get some Albuquerque news. But if you turn that on tonight, is the majority of the things they report on, are they positive or are they negative on the news?
Negative.
Not even close, is it? I flew yesterday on the airline that flies from DFW straight to Clovis. We took off and we landed without a hitch. Everything was fine. Well, what if they came on the news tonight and they said, today at the Sunport in Albuquerque, 147 planes took off and landed safely? They don't report that, do they? But if they had an issue with one, that would be on the news, wouldn't it? Okay, growing up in East Texas, we were close enough to the Louisiana border that we got the Shreveport local news in the evenings. Now, I don't know if any of you Air Force men and women have ever been stationed at Barksdale there in Bossier City, right outside of Shreveport, but the Shreveport news tends to be super scary and negative. Okay? Like, no, everybody in East Texas is like, you can't go there. Don't go to Shreveport or Bossier City. Do not go. You can't be there. Okay? It's a horrible place, and it's really okay, but they just report on all those negative things. Did you know it's very easy for us as Christians to look at the world today, and even in the United States of America, with our presidential election and how nasty that has become and all of that, to look at all of those things, and it's easy for us as Christians to become negative very quick. and to see these things, and woe is me, here I am living in the end times. You can't speak the name of Jesus out in public. Well, you know what? You still can. Okay, and that's just fine. Did you know if you go to the New Testament, we're talking about men that walked and talked and saw Jesus that, let's see, Paul, Peter, and John, guys that you've all heard of, all in their lifetime thought that Jesus would return. Paul, to the letter of the Thessalonians, he keeps saying that, you know, when we see Jesus return, and it is a very personal pronoun that he's using it, not just we in general, but when I see Jesus return. Paul was convinced that the Lord would come back in his lifetime. So when we talk about the last days, we know what we mean, but this is a term that's been used for 2,000 years. It's literally the church age. It's the time from when Jesus was ascended back into heaven until he returns visibly. Those are the last days. And you say, well, that's a super long time. Well, not to God, it's not. It's just like that to the Lord. God exists, and this is a difficult concept to grasp hold of. God is outside of time. God is not bound by time. Okay? He created time. He existed before time existed. So when he says the last days, scoffers and cynics and belligerent non-believers will say, well, where has he been? It's been 2,000 years. Where is he at? What does the Bible say? Why does Jesus tarry? Why does the Lord pause and not end it all right now? It's so that, according to the Bible, more people will hear and respond to the gospel. That's the type of God that we serve. He wants people to be in heaven. He is not mean-spirited. On Wednesday night, just as a reminder, wasn't in the announcements, but on Wednesday night, we're still doing those Stump the Preacher cards. You guys have asked fantastic questions. And the question that we talked about Wednesday night was, is God a genocidal maniac? Because of the things that he commanded in the Old Testament. He gave his followers, the Hebrews, the Jews, some hard commands. The short answer to that is, of course he's not, because he wants people to be in heaven forever. That's his goal. If you exist, if you breathe oxygen, Jesus gave his life for you and he wants you in heaven. Okay? He's not here for condemnation. He's here to be a savior. But we see these things in the last days. Let's read. Let's go ahead and get into the Bible and I'll be quiet. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep in the households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jonas and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. The climate of the last days is point number one, and we see it will be difficult days or dangerous days. I think we can say without much thought, without reading into it too deeply, we can see that these are dangerous and difficult days presently in 2016. So if you have a pen and you have a checklist today of are we in the last days, go ahead and check that one off on verse 1. Yes. Difficult days. Dangerous days. Yes. But I also want you to think about the days as determined days. Determined, like intestinal fortitude, guts, not giving up, perseverance. That's not what I mean this morning. What I mean by determined is that God has determined these days to be so. Here's what I mean. We mentioned this a couple Wednesday nights ago. We were discussing the things that were going on in the world, and we were praying. And one of the things we pray about quite often on the prayer services on Wednesday nights is we do pray for the return of Jesus. Okay? And as Christians, we can't pray for the return of Jesus and then be upset when we see the signs of His return. Does that make sense? You can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay? If we're praying for the return of Jesus, we're also, in effect, praying for these things, this list of things we just read. We're praying for these things. These are going to happen also. It's just a reality. These are dangerous and difficult days, but they're also determined days. Just because days are difficult doesn't mean God has become weak or incapable of being in control of the universe. He's just as powerful today as He was on the day that He spoke the universe into creation. And we went, the other day I was teaching a group out of Job 38, which I reference all the time because it's my favorite chapter in all the Bible, and that's the chapter where God says, "All right, Job and your buddies, it's my turn to speak." And He describes putting the stars in the sky, and He describes the storehouses of hailstones up in heaven that He used for the days of trouble, the Bible says. Then He talks about the war horse in chapter 39, and then He gets into the behemoth and the leviathan in chapters 40 and 41 of the book of Job. And what God is doing there, He's describing to Job, He's saying, "Job, if I can create these things and put them to existence, and they are so much bigger and more powerful than you, then certainly you must be aware that you, Job, are not as powerful as me, God." And if God has determined these days, if God has predicted these days, not once has God said, "Oh my goodness, the world's in upheaval, what happened?" He never stepped away from his office. He never stepped away from His authority. He's aware of everything, literally everything, that's going on in the world today. So the climate of the last days, they're dangerous days, but at the same time, they're determined days. God has determined these things to happen. You know what we ought to do as believers, as Christians? That ought to comfort us. This is a good thing. We see the return of Jesus quite possibly in our lifetime. This is good. I know personally that when I first became a believer, I wanted God, I wouldn't have said this out loud, but in my heart, I wanted God to delay the return of Jesus because I wanted to get into adulthood. I wanted to graduate high school and college and get married and have kids and do all of those type of things. And now, as an adult that has gone through all of those things and experienced all of those things, and they've been good. God has been very good to me in my life here on earth. There's no doubt about it. I'll never change that tune because He's been better to me than I deserve 1,000 times over. But I know now that I'm separated from my infancy in believing Jesus, now 17, almost 18 years later, that it is better that Jesus return than I tarry here on earth. And I look forward to that. The things that we experience here, though there are many good blessings and good gifts that come straight from above, it is better in eternity for a believer. We should take comfort in that day is coming. As a kid, I was the world's most typical American kid when it came to Christmas time. I got excited when decorations started going up. I would count down the days. My birthday is 3 days before Christmas, so it was a big time for us. You get out of school, you have birthday, you have Christmas, you have New Year's, all of those things. I was super excited for those things. And there was something about me as a child that even when those days came, my excitement never waned. Instead, it stayed consistent or even increased. When they started putting the decorations up around the courthouse there in Mount Pleasant, I'd start getting excited. We used to have Santa Claus up on the street lights, but he was wearing a cowboy hat and boots. That was part of our decorations there in Mount Pleasant for Christmas. I was excited about it. And as it got closer, my anticipation didn't get less, it increased. Amen. When we see this is get it, can we all agree in simple math and sequence and timelines and all of that? It is closer right now than it's ever been before. It has to be. If he's coming back, it's closer now than it was 3 seconds ago when I said it initially. So should our excitement as believers wane or should it increase? We should be more excited because we see the signs more often, more frequently, and we know that he's coming. Maybe or maybe not in our lifetime, but he's coming. These are determined days. God is still in control. It is not our job as Christians to run outside and yell, the sky is falling, and to be in panic mode. God still knows all of these things. So that's the climate of the last days. And real quick, the characteristics of the last days. Did y'all see that list from verse 2 to verse 5? We got some on there that I look at this list. In my flesh and in my humanity, I'll see this list and I'll read these things and I'll say, you know what? That describes old so-and-so. But when you read verses 2 through 5, that's not the question you should ask, or that's not the realization you should have is, hey, that's old so-and-so. Here's the question you should ask when you read these lists like this in the New Testament. You should ask, is it I? Is that me? Am I guilty of this? How about this, kids? On this list of all these atrocious things, you know what's included? Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents is a big deal in the eyes of God. Especially if you've been given good, godly parents. I don't think God would ever want you to disobey Him rather than disobey your parents. God is certainly more powerful than your parents, but if your parents are asking you to do things that are well within line of Scripture and well within line of what God's standards are, then you are to be obedient to them. It's a big deal. How about it says lovers of self? Is that prevalent today? Absolutely. I would say that even in many Christian circles, that's promoted over the love of God, is to love yourself. Now, it's okay. I feel good about myself, but because I know what God says about me, not what I'm capable of on my own. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference there? God's been very good to me. God has created me fearfully and wonderfully, the psalm says, but it's because of Him and not because of anything that I've done that I'm okay with myself. There are really two commands in the New Testament from Jesus, and they say what? Love God and love others. The third one of love yourself really isn't even in there. I think if you love God and you love others, you'll be perfectly fine with yourself. Okay? I'm not preaching today that you ought to be bummed out and discouraged in who you are, because God created you as a victor and as more than a conqueror. But lovers of self, it also says lovers of money. In January, we did 3 weeks on money, and it was very beneficial to me and my attitude about money, okay, when I was studying those things. But is there anybody, this list that Paul is giving here to Timothy, keep this in mind, this list is not given to those outside in the world that are non-believers. This list is given to believers. Is there anybody in America that's in the ministry that we could consider a lover of money? You can go ahead and say yes. Amen. Absolutely. There are people in the ministry in the United States of America that love money. You know what Jesus says about that? The love of money is what? The root of all evil. He's not talking about a shady businessman out here in town. Paul is talking to people that are inside the church walls this morning. Lover of money. Money's not bad. It's the love of money that's bad. Let's see, what else can we hit today? Proud, arrogant, abusive, okay, ungrateful, heartless, and brutal is on there. We'll put those two together, heartless and brutal. One of the things that is devastating to me when you watch the news is how cruel people can be to one another. To little children. To as innocent as a person can be, they mistreat innocent people just because they can. Human life in the world today is worth very little when God says it's worth the life of my son, Jesus. We've become, even remember, inside the church, heartless and brutal, slanderous. We don't bat an eye about talking bad or down about somebody else. All these things that are on this list, what does Paul say to Timothy? What in this Holy Spirit-inspired passage of Scripture, Paul says to Timothy, anybody you see that fits the bill of these things, he says, avoid such people. There's a whole list and in words that we didn't even talk about this morning that fit, and I have them written down and I have things to say, okay, about all of them. But Paul instructs the young man Timothy, avoid such people. The things that are listed here are not Christian traits. They're not Christian characteristics. These will influence you negatively in your life. But let's camp out on another one for a second. Verse 5, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. I quoted this in the young adult Sunday school class today with A.W. Tozer, who has a ton of great quotes. He said, if the Holy Spirit completely left our churches, 95% of the time we wouldn't even notice. We would just go our own way. We would do our own thing. 9 o'clock, we'd have Sunday school. 10 a.m., we'd have the worship service. We'd sing. We'd preach. We'd pray. We'd go home. Did you know we can do that whole routine without the power of God influencing us here at Highland Baptist? We can do that. But it's not a good thing for us to do. We have the appearance of godliness, but we deny the power. Remember all those Holy Spirit sermons we did right before Mother's Day, and this actually, I think, falls right in line with all of those things. How do we grieve, because of Ephesians chapter 4, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Remember that whole list that Paul gave there to the church at Ephesus? We grieve Him by being disobedient. We grieve the Holy Spirit by being guilty of the things listed here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's how we do it. We do our own thing. We want to look like God's involved, but we don't want God to be in control of it. There's a vast difference there. Too many of us, and I'm not saying I'm not guilty of any of these things. I hope you know me well enough that I certainly deal with these things. I'm a human as much as anybody. But we can even make idols out of ministry. We can make idols out of church programs. We can do all these things and seemingly have a lot of good things going, but if the power of God's not in it, then I no longer want to be a part of it. I want to see the power of God in everything that we do. Every time that we meet at Highland, whether it's a committee meeting or whether it's a Sunday morning service or a Bible study, whatever it is, I want the power of God to be involved in all of those things. We've had too much time, and not just here, but throughout the world, for far too long, we've had a form of godliness but denied the power of God. The example in Sunday school this morning was Peter. Remember, Peter was afraid to admit that he knew Jesus after his arrest. And then in Acts chapter 4, we see that Peter was boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus out in public. What happened? If you were in Sunday school, remember that passage? It said, Peter, comma, filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the difference. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In the last days, there will be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Don't mistake your connection to church for a union with Jesus. Let me say that again. That was good. Don't mistake your connection with church as union with Jesus. As a lifelong attender and member of a Baptist church, I know for a fact that there will be members, there will be staff members, there will be Sunday school teachers and deacons that are members of Southern Baptist churches that will die and spend eternity separated from Jesus because they got all the churchianity they could stand, but they left Jesus in the background. Church is a good thing. God instituted the church. God is the head of the church. We are the bride of Christ, the Bible says, but do not allow yourself to confuse the two. This church will never save you. Only Jesus can do that. That's the power of God. And the salvation is the cross. That's the characteristics of the last days. Again, remember to ask yourself the question. Don't point fingers and say, well, that describes old so-and-so. Instead, ask, is this me? And I've already spilled the beans on the last one. The last one was counsel for the last days. Paul says, avoid such people. Now, I also want to point out in verse 6, it says, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. Let me just say this. I know it uses the word women there, but men, we're susceptible to that as well. There are people in the last days, well-meaning people that are blown around by every wave and wind of doctrine, Paul says elsewhere in the New Testament. If somebody preaches something other than what the Bible teaches, they're not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest compliment anybody can give me as a preacher or as a pastor is that I stick to what the Bible says and nothing else. I don't want to go astray from this. I don't want to lead anybody astray. I'm not interested in being some kind of cult leader where people follow me regardless of what I say or do. I want everything I say to follow perfectly in line with what the Scripture says. I want to have not just a form of godliness, but I want to have the power of God in my life as well. Then at the end of this passage, it equates the two, it names two men from Egypt in the Old Testament that opposed Moses. Remember, Aaron and Moses come before Pharaoh, and Aaron throws a staff on the ground that becomes a snake, and then Pharaoh's magicians and sorcerers were able to duplicate that. They threw theirs down, and it became a snake as well. How did they do that? What does the New Testament say? Test every spirit. Because not everything spiritual is positive. Not everything spiritual is good. Perhaps they did that by the influence of the devil himself. Don't be blown around by all of those things. Stick with the things that stand the test of time. The Bible says that Jonathan Jambres, that names these guys here in 2 Timothy, he says, people will see it because eventually they will falter. They will fail because they have that form, but they don't have the power. As they were, even a couple of the plagues they could duplicate in front of Pharaoh. The Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened a couple of times during those plagues because his men could duplicate what Moses and Aaron had done. And his heart was hardened. He says, well, their God certainly isn't that powerful. But then when it came to the gnats and some other things, even those men said, Pharaoh, we can't do that. We can't duplicate this. There's something different about these guys. As believers in the last days, as we see the world in decline, as we're seeing things on the news that 6 months ago you would have thought surely will never be news in the United States of America, we see all of those things. And instead of us withdrawing, instead of us cowering in the corner, fearful of what these days bring, we should live within the power of God. And quite frankly, as Christians, we ought to be excited that we see the last days upon us. As I said earlier, that's way better than this. It is far superior to be with Jesus, see him eyeball to eyeball in heaven, than it is here on earth. It's a better thing. So this morning, remember these things, this list. These are for people in the church, not people outside the church. Don't look around and ask or accuse and say, man, all of these, I see these people guilty of the things in this list, but instead ask, is this me? Am I guilty of these things? And then go away as a Christian this morning encouraged to know that you can live within the power of God. And even if man takes your life in the last days, you can still call heaven your home for eternity. That's what Jesus said. What can man do to you? Don't fear man, even if they take your life. They're just doing you a favor and ushering you into eternity. Instead of, woe is me, Lord, what are we going to do? We should ask this morning as Christians, God, increase my faith. Let's ask the Lord that this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being good to us. Lord, we do see, I think we'd all be in agreement as Christians this morning, as a church family this morning. We see that you are in control, God, and also we do see the elements of these are the last days, and it can be a little unnerving. It can be a little scary. So, God, this morning we ask that you would increase our faith as believers, that at Highland Baptist that we would live a life filled with the power of God and not just a form of godliness. That we don't allow even good things to become idols over you, but instead we'd rather have the power of God in our life. Lord, as we see our brothers and sisters across the world losing their life for Jesus, I pray we'd be reminded that, man, their souls were ushered into heaven at that exact moment. God, as we see people that are our brothers and sisters in Christ in the United States of America suffering persecution, maybe businesses being shut down, maybe being fined by the government because they won't comply or won't be complicit with these rules and regulations that may be in our hearts and minds and according to your Bible, open rebellion against God. I thank you for those brothers and sisters that have already endured that. I lift them up, and we know that you can provide them with everything that they need. God, when it comes to our life as individuals, I pray that we do the same thing, that we refuse to follow the list in 2 Timothy 3 of these do nots, but instead that we trust you even if our life is forfeit, even if our bank account will be affected negatively, even if our credit score will dwindle, that we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit and we'd be bold and courageous as we see the last days upon us. God, so today again, we ask that you would increase our faith, Lord, and also we ask, as John did, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we know the other side is better than this, what we have currently. We're thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.